You're listening to the Master Passive Income Podcast Network. Welcome to the Master Passive Income Show. My name is Dustin Heiner, and I'm here to help you get financial independence, quit that J-O-B, that just overbroke job, by investing in real estate and getting passive income so you never, ever have to work a job again. And today, I'm super pumped to bring on a fantastic student of Master Passive Income who started investing and now has a single family home and a duplex and is making over $1,000 a month in passive income from both these properties. He's going to show you how you can do it as well. All right, let's start the show.
Welcome to the Master Passive Income Podcast, where we talk about investing in real estate with a special focus on making enough money so you can quit your job and live the dream life. And now, here is your host, Dustin Heiner.
Hey, what's up, guys? Super blessed, as always, to have you here with me on the show. Now, I am super excited about everything that my students do. In fact, I literally just had a call with a student named Kathy. So here's what happened. So she's coaching with Charles. She has a one-on-one coaching with Charles, and it's going well, but she had a call with somebody that is like a lender, and she's going to buy a $1.2 million bundle package, 8 properties, total of income is $15,000. And so she is really concerned. Well, it turns out that she had a call, a random call that came out of nowhere. And I'm not going to say you should do this. This is not something, if you start coaching me, it's not going to happen all the time, but she couldn't get a hold of Charles. Charles is, he's got a full-time job. He's working. He's about ready to quit. He needs to get his green card, but as soon as he quits, he's going to have more time. But our students, they need to set up a time. But she's like, I really need to talk to somebody. So I jumped on a call with her. I said, you know what? I'm just going to call, even though it's not something that I normally would do. I would never do it, actually. I said, you know what? She seems like she really needs help, and I want to help her. So I jumped on a call with her, and we were able to walk her through what I would do, some suggestions, and getting her to the next steps, because she had a call coming really, really quick. But it's just so much fun working with students. See, I got this question yesterday. I went out to dinner with some investors, and they were asking me, well, why do you do Master Passive Income? Why do you do RubeCon? And like, what's the benefit for you? Obviously giving back, you know, that's one. And I said, you know what, really the benefit for me to doing this is I feel so much more fulfilled in my life. Now, the way it feels when you buy one property, it feels like an accomplishment. When I bought my first property, it was definitely an accomplishment. When I bought my 10th property or I quit my job, these were all great accomplishments, but it felt like I needed another accomplishment over and over again. But when I helped my student to buy their first property, I felt fulfilled. It wasn't an accomplishment for me. It was an accomplishment for them. But I felt so fulfilled because I helped another human being get what they most want in life, to go down the path of financial independence with real estate investing. Then when my students become financially independent or reach the goal that they have, whereas this lady, Kathy, her goal is 80 properties in like 2 or 3 years. Like, she's going to do it. She's so gung-ho. She's going to do it. And with helping somebody like Kathy or helping all these students, when they reach their goal, I feel so much more fulfilled. Like, I feel so much overjoyed. So I just got off the call with my student, and he is literally doing so well in his investing. In just a couple months, he's got a single family home. He's got a duplex, making $1,000 a month in passive income. But I got to hang out with him at RubeCon in 2023 in Phoenix. He also came to RubeCon 2024. I get to hang out with my students. And honestly, that's the whole reason why I do this. So if you're listening to this right now, just realize that it is possible for you to do it. And the reason why I bring on my students to show you why it's possible or how it's possible is because you're going to hear my students are not Instagrammers. They're not YouTubers. They're not podcasters. They're regular everyday people, just like you and me. And honestly, I'm literally an everyday regular person, just like you. And you will see when you come to RubeCon, but when you come to these events, my events, it's all about a family. It's all about a community helping you connect with other people. See, now my student that we're interviewing today, he came and we started chatting and we found out we're both hunters. I love hunting. It's the best meat you could ever eat. It's like the most organic meat you could ever eat. And it's a lot of fun. My children hunt with me as well. So he's a hunter. So we hit it off really, really well. And then I heard from Charles Rose Jr., who's a coach here at Master Passive Income. He was saying, man, you should hear what he's doing. How is fast? He's just done so well. You need to have him on the show. I said, absolutely. Let's 100% do it. And I want you to be successful, just like my student who I'm bringing on right now, who's doing so fantastic. He lives in Ohio, and we'll get into it. He'll explain a lot more about it, but lives in Ohio and is buying real estate. And he's going to show you how to do it. And I have one of my students, Tanner Cox, on with me, showing you how to become a successful real estate investor. Hey, Tanner, thank you so much for being on the show.
Yeah, glad to be here.
Man, this is so cool to have you on the show now. Well, first, I want to know, you live in Ohio. You also invest. What got you started investing in real estate?
It's something I always thought about, having rental properties and stuff. But I always thought, you know, I don't want to be a landlord. So I always just put it out of my mind. And then I guess it was early last year in 23, I was leaving my job one day and I got to thinking I was getting ready to turn on some music. And I thought, you know, I'm going to look up real estate investing. And that's when I found your podcast. And I'd never thought about using PMs before. And you were talking about that. And I thought, you know, that's something I could do that. I don't want to be a landlord, but I'd like that. So I listened to your podcast probably for maybe a couple months or a few months. And that's when I contacted Charles and signed up.
I love it because, honestly, that is how I really just developed my, I guess, love for coaching people and helping people was through the podcast. Now, when I first got started in 2006, there weren't any podcasts out there. There wasn't YouTube. There wasn't I literally had to figure this out on my own, which is a lot of work. But at the same time, I'm so blessed that you were able to find it through the podcast. And then now, fast forward now, you are successfully investing. You came to the real estate conference now twice now, which we'll talk about in a minute. But tell me about where you are investing now and the properties that you currently have.
Right now, when I started looking at, when I got to the part in the course where I was starting to look at where to invest, I see myself in the future investing out of state, even though I'm doing local now. But I started looking, I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio. I started looking up in Cleveland and looked there for a while, found a PM and a realtor. But I ended up coming down to local to me in Dayton and Cincinnati and looking. And I bought my first one in February this year up in Dayton, a single family home. And then about 3 weeks ago, I bought a duplex. It's like probably 15 minutes or so from me in Franklin. And so I have those two right now, and they're all three units ran, the single family and then the duplex. When I bought the duplex, it had people that just signed a lease in it. So they're good for about a whole year. But in the future, I see myself, you know, I'm not scared to invest out of state. I will. And that was the plan from the beginning. But kind of worked out that I live in Ohio, and that's good for investing. And that's where I got my first two.
I love Ohio. In fact, I started investing in Ohio when I was living in California. You may have heard of the town. Youngstown is where I started investing. And I don't really suggest many students or anybody to invest there. It's very economically depressed. It's a hard area to invest. But it's where I got my teeth cut on real estate investing back in 2006 and figured out the wrong way to do it many different ways because I lost a lot of money. But then again, I figured out how to do it right. Now, you talk to us about this first property. Now, this first property that you got, single family home, then you are obviously graduated getting duplexes now, but talked about the first property and, you know, how much did you buy it for and what's the passive income? What's the debt? Like how much kind of mortgage did you get for it? And I want to pause for a quick second and share that, honestly, I really want you to invest in real estate. Now, my new goal is to help 1 million people invest in real estate. So two things I would ask from you. Number one, if you get anything out of this episode, please share it with somebody else. Just say, hey, you know, check out Dustin at Master Passive Income. He really wants to help 1 million people to invest in real estate. That's number one. Number two, I want to get you to invest in real estate. Get my real estate investing course absolutely for free. Text the word rental, R-E-N. RENTAL to 33777. Rental to 33777. I'll literally give you my course, show you how to find an area of the country to invest, how to build the business first. You know, I always talk about that, and how to find the right properties, how to make sure you're getting experts to do the work for you, and scale the business to where you're making $250 or more in passive income. Scale it to quit your job. I'll literally get to you, or go to masterpassiveincome.com/free course. Obviously, it'll be in the description, but I really, really want you to invest in real estate, because the more that actual, normal, everyday people own real estate that are good landlords, the better everybody's life gets.
The first one, I believe they listed it for, it was 90-something, but when I seen it, it had been on the market for maybe a week, and they'd moved it, they reduced it to 89.9 when I seen it. And me and my realtor went and looked at it, and that day we made an offer for, I think it was 70,000 what we offered. And from 89 to 70,000, and of course did the inspection contingency with it. And I think I was the first one to come and look at it. It'd been on there for a week. But anyway, they come back with, I think it was 75. And there was a few things that we asked for them to fix. And, you know, they said, no, we're not going to fix nothing. They said 75. And then I come back again with 73,000. You don't fix nothing, but, you know, knock a couple more off. And we ended up getting it for 73,000. And then I could have went up there, you know, and fixed some stuff myself, but I wanted to do it passive, even though you know, might pay a little more than fixing it myself. But I probably overpaid for a few things I got fixed, but, you know, that was learning, you know, find cheaper people. And so I borrowed 73, put like maybe 8,100 in it. And I mean, I'm not going to, but if I wanted to sell it, I'd make money, you know. And so anyway, all together, I got like 81 in it, 82 maybe, and right around there. So that was a single family home.
And how much are you making in passive income on that one?
That one, the passive income after I pay everything is 766, because I bought it cash with no mortgage.
Oh, that's fantastic. And then you make that cash in, and then if you want to, you could refinance and pull it out, but you get that cash to buy the next property. Now, I do want to say that I love that Charles helped you to save so much money, or you going through the course and go through the coach, and we talk about negotiating. You know, if they're asking $90,000+, you offering so low, like you know, in the $70,000, and then getting it for $73,000, you're literally capturing what is. Let's say they were asking 90, you got it for 73. That's $17,000 that you just captured right there. You made $17,000. That's really what it comes down to. And then you have the passive income on top of that. Now, are you thinking about refinancing and pulling the cash out to buy the next property?
Yeah, I think I will, because even though I bought this duplex, I didn't pull any money out of that first one. So I still have the option to do that. So I'm pretty sure my next move will probably be to either refinance or a home equity loan or, you know, something, pull money out of that.
Yeah, because when you have just equity or money sitting there, it's good. Don't get me wrong. You get all close to $800 a month in passive income, which is great. But let's say you got a loan and you cut that passive income in half. Maybe you're making 400, but you have another, let's say, $50,000 or $60,000 to put toward your next house. That's going to make you another $400. Now you have two properties making you the $800 a month. So it's just, that's the way we scale. Now, obviously, you got to look at making sure the mortgage is taken care of, making sure you have good tenants, all that sort of stuff, which is what we do. Mm-hmm. But I love that you captured equity, you're making passive income. Now, talk to us about the duplex that you got. And is it in the same city, same property manager? How does that all work out?
It's not in the same city. They're like maybe 20 minutes from each other or so, but they're both really close to me. The duplex is super close, but I called my realtor up, you know, told him I was looking for another one. And he sent me a list of single family homes, a list of duplexes. Went and looked at a bunch of both. But I thought, you know, I'd like to get a duplex for the second one. And it had just been rented out. They just signed the lease in May. I think somebody had bought it, you know, and did some work on it and then leased it out and then was just going to sell it. But it was listed, when I seen it, it was listed for $200,000. And I think I put the offer in, I believe it was $175,000. And he come back with $190,000. And, you know, we went back and forth a little bit. He didn't want to fix nothing. So then I said, okay, well, don't fix nothing. Kind of like the first one. I said, don't fix nothing, but I'll take it for 185. And ended up getting it for 185. And I think what they're being rented for right now, I could raise the rents, I think, easy, $50 on both. But right now, it's renting for $1,800. So, you know, I could get it up to $1,900 easy, I think. And probably a little more than that. But about the property manager, it is the same property manager, so that's good. And when I called him to give him the duplex, you know, told him, hey, I'm getting ready to buy another one, they actually gave me a discount from what I was paying for the other one and this one. So, you know, at first I was thinking, it's not going to be that good of a discount, but it was pretty good. Pretty good little discount they gave me for giving them another property. And so that's where I'm at with those two.
Did you get a mortgage on this duplex?
Yeah, this one's just a conventional loan. So I'll probably do a first-time homebuyer loan I'm thinking next year I'm going to do a first-time homebuyer loan for another multifamily.
I think that's fantastic. Now, how much in passive income? You're making $1,800. You could hopefully raise it to get to $1,900. How much are you making in passive income now?
Right now, I kind of dropped the ball with this one because I didn't quite, of course, I learned this for the next time. I didn't quite figure in and learn quick enough. They have it in the leases that the owner pays the water, trash, and sewer. But even with paying that, I'm making cash flow $219. So it's barely under that $250. Yeah.
Well, that's not bad at all, especially when you look at, you could raise it $50 and looking, okay, when is the lease up? When can we renew the lease and, you know, raise it? Or let's say you, in the new lease, you say, well, we're going to keep it the same at $1,800. You're just going to have to pay for the water and sewer. But at the same time, it's hard if it's a duplex, if the utilities are not split, all that sort of stuff. I know, you know, if you're working with Charles and obviously being a student here at Master Passive Income, we'll walk you through all that sort of stuff. But I love that you're doing that. Now, what's the plan to scale? And with every property that you're buying, so everybody listening, you need to realize that what Tanner's done is not uncommon. This is what our students do all the time because we find good deals and we put in offers. I mean, you captured literally, what is that? $32,000 in equity. You save $32,000 by negotiating these two different properties. That's $32,000. And that's something that I helped Charles on one of his property, his very first property he bought. I helped him to save $30,000. And he was like, man, that like paid over coaching like five times over. So it worked out so, so well. Well, tell me, before we get to the scaling, tell me how was it with the coaching at Master Passive Income? How did that help you to really get started, to really get to where you are now?
It was good. When I first signed up, I was getting ready to sign up. I got in contact with Charles and, you know, I talked to him on the phone before I signed up and I didn't know nothing about investing before that. So I told him, I said, I didn't even have a laptop. I said, I got to buy me a laptop, you know, and then I'll sign up. And, so he said, you know, told me about the conference out there in Phoenix. So as soon as I signed up, then the conference was like right after I signed up just about. So I went out there to the conference and that was good, you know, talking with everybody and getting you in that mindset kind of. And then the coaching, the one-on-one calls, it was all pretty good. And that's, you know, I don't think I could have done it without the coaching. Me, you know, I didn't know anything. So, you know, I don't regret buying the course at all. It was what got me into it.
And you were smart doing the fast track way of getting everything, including the coaching with a one-on-one coach. Mm-hmm. I wish there was something like this when I first got started. It was like $80,000 to hire somebody because it was those gurus that they travel the country. So they spend lots of money on marketing and all that sort of. So you have to pay for all that. And now with internet and technology, it's so great that we can offer this coaching for you. Now, I love that. Now, talk to me about you now scaling your business, because if you did refinance the first one, pull that cash out, buy the next property, making sure that one cash flows as well as pay the mortgage on this first property. Like, talk to me about your scaling and what you're going to be doing next.
I think the next thing I'm going to do is look into pulling money out of the first one so I can have that to use on the third, you know. And the next year, my plan is to do a first-time homebuyer loan you know, maybe even a fourplex, anything up to a fourplex. So that hopefully be the third one. But also in the meantime, between now and then, I'm wanting to learn more about and look into doing no money down deals. Could be seller financing or, you know, other ways. So in the meantime, between now and then, I could do no money down deals. And then even after that, and just, you know, hopefully scale it a lot faster that way.
The no money down options are phenomenal because you find a seller. And here's the big thing that people kind of miss when they're looking for no money down. It could be subject to, it could be seller financing, could be, you know, maybe getting private money. It's when you don't look at the person that's selling the home or the person that has the private money or the person that has having trouble with the mortgage. When you don't look at them as a normal, regular human being that needs help. If you look at them as just, oh, I just want this property, I'm going to try to take it from them, then it's not going to work. There are people that get properties, and I don't know. I like sleeping at night. I like knowing that I took care of somebody. And so if you go into the effect of, or you go into the property, effectively helping them get what they want. They need to get out of that property, or they need to get out of this mortgage because they lost their job or they're getting divorced, and you're able to help them. Having these options, all the no money down options and low money down, they're just new ways, or not new, but like they're ways to help you to help a seller out of a problem that they are in. And a lot of people might be thinking, well, why in the world would somebody, a seller, do a subject to where you take over the mortgage, they vacate, you take over the property? Why would anybody just give you the property? It's like, well, you don't know their situations. Maybe they absolutely need to. Maybe they're moving and they need to get out of this property. I literally had he's an attendee of RubeCon, the Real Estate Wealth Builders Conference. He emailed me about a week ago saying, Dustin, I'm literally moving across the country. I have this property. I'm willing to do some sort of a subject to, or somebody can assume the loan. I said, let's talk about it. So we're talking about it now because he needs to get out of that and he's not able to do anything with it because he wants to move on. So I love that you're thinking down that path. Now, what about getting that fourplex? Are there fourplexes? Are there, because like getting a multifamily, that's like playing Monopoly, which is great. That's why we have the RubeCon multifamily conference that we're putting on in November, November 7th through the 9th in 2024. It's going to be another annual conference just like RubeCon. But talk to me about your idea of doing more doors as opposed to just buying continually single family homes.
I'm thinking to hopefully do the fourplex for the next one. I probably won't, but I thought, you know, maybe sell the first one in order to use money to buy another multifamily. And
No. I'll pause you and say never, ever sell. At least this is my suggestion. Mm-hmm. Any investor I've ever talked to, and I've sold two properties that I've in the past, I wish I never did. But every single investor that I talked to wishes they never sold. And any homeowner always wishes they never sold. So my suggestion, just do the refinance, pull the cash out to buy the next property. You will thank me, obviously, for everything that's going on with buying the properties. But then this is another big one. Never sell. You're absolutely going to make so much more money by keeping that property, renting it out, getting a loan, then buying a new property and doing it over and over again. That's how I got to 30 plus properties now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'm thinking hopefully do the fourplex and then no money down deals. But hopefully with the money I get on these, you know, I can just save up and use it on the next one. And then, of course, pull money out of the first one. Don't sell it.
I love it. Now, are you looking to do out of state, or how are you going to continually grow inside of Ohio?
I think I'll look around here because it seems pretty good so far. So I'll try to stay local if I can. If it's good here and I live here, you know, why not? But I mean, I still have the PM. I'm still going to keep it passive and not wanting to go, you know, I only want to go to cut the grass or do anything. I want to keep it as passive as I can, even though I'm live right by them. But, yeah, in the future, I'll do out of state. I'm not afraid to go do the out of state investing. That was my plan originally before I started buying here. So
That's great. I definitely, after I got to about 10 properties in one city, I started feeling like I got a lot of eggs in one basket. Let me see if I can then branch out. And every investor is going to be different. They might feel after four, they might, oh, it's time to move on. You're going to know which one's time for you. Now, what lessons have you learned? Like, can you think of a big lesson that you learned? I remember you mentioned one of them a little bit earlier, but anything else that we as the listeners can think, okay, this is what Tanner went through. Let me watch out for this.
I'd say I've been meaning to write some of these down, so I have a list of things that I learned, you know, so I don't do it again. But the main things that come to mind is when your property manager gets you estimates and stuff, you know, don't be afraid to call and get your own people. Like I found, you know, my own handyman and probably saved. They got me an estimate for something on the first property from, I mean, it was a big name company, you know. I thought, you know, if I was managing it myself, I wouldn't be having these big name companies do it. So I got, you know, on Google and did some Googling, and I probably saved, I think it was about $1,200 or $1,300 or so, you know, from using this other guy. And he does good work. I got him doing work on the duplex too. So both my properties I use him. So don't be afraid to call and get your own estimates, you know, and then you can call your PM and say, hey, use this guy. So that's something. And then the next thing, the first house I had, the single family, I think I had the rents too high on that when I first listed. I was trying to squeeze more out of it, and it took a little bit to rent out. I think I was trying to set it too high. But in the meantime, you know, I was having the yard cut, but the bushes and everything started growing up a little bit. So I was keeping the yard in check, except for the bushes and the weeds and all that. So then when I got ready to get somebody in there, my PM did a final inspection, you know, just to make sure it was ready for the tenant. And they sent me some pictures. I'm like, man, you know, I don't want to give it to the tenant, you know, growed up weeds and bushes and stuff. So I paid to have somebody go and cut all that back and get rid of the weeds. So I thought, you know, next time if I have one that I got up for rent, you know, and I think it might be a little bit, hopefully not, but if I think it might sit for a little bit while I'm trying to get somebody, you know, have the grass done, have the weeds maintained, the bushes and everything, and that would probably save you money in the long run instead of paying like I did to have it done, you know, right at the end before the tank gets in there.
And I'll give you one little idea. So hold your train of thought. I'll give you one idea too, to add to that and what I've seen. Okay. So if the property is not rented for over a month, and that's a whole month of rent you didn't collect, that's a lot of money. Let's say you're making $1,000 a month in rent. Well, that's $1,000. And if you're trying to squeeze out an extra $50, like, you know, I want $1,050. Well, if you know that $950, $100 less is actually going to get it rented really fast, well, you're still paying for the grass and the bushes. You're paying for all that. That might be $50 or $100 a month. That's come out of your pocket. Plus, it's not rented. Let's say it doesn't go rented for 2 months. That's $2,000 out of your pocket from not being rented. So for me, I start thinking, all the carrying costs. Do I want to carry this house for an extra month to try to get this little bit of extra money? So I look at trying to keep it lower. But that's another idea, like you said, was, you know, do I want to make sure it's already all done so I don't have this huge bill at the end? So these are all fantastic lessons that you have. Now, with the with your growing and scaling of your business, what is the next path for you with coming to any events? Are you going to be coming to the multifamily event? What about RubeCon? Because I know you came in to Phoenix as well as St. Louis next year, but it'd be great to hang out with you again. That's how we got to know. We both hunt and everything.
Yeah. I seen where he's having the multifamily one coming up. I don't know if I'll be able to make that with work. I don't know if I'd be able to make two of them a year, but I'll probably be at the next one for next year, the normal RubeCon in St. Louis again. I'll probably be able to make that one. And then I found out, I've been going, like you said, find the local meetings and stuff. So I found a local meeting here. It's like maybe 10 minutes from my house. And so I've been going there the last couple months. And I learned from an older guy there that there's maybe 20 minutes from me at a big amusement park. They have a meeting there once a year, and he said it's really big. I'm not sure what the name of it is, but it's coming up here in September. So, and just going to this local meeting here, you know, stuff like that, you learn, you get connections, you learn so much. We had one meeting, the last one. I said, you know, who's the speaker going to be tonight? And they said, oh, we're not going to have a speaker. It's just networking. So, you know, we just sit there and just talked. And you know, you learn a lot just sitting and talking to people like that. Just like out there at your conferences and the Rubicons, you know, in the hallways, just talking to people, you learn a lot. So I'm gonna start going to those local meetings and the one coming up here in September that guy told me about. But it is pretty important to go to the local meetings and, you know, network with people.
Especially since you are investing in that city, you know, in that area. I mean, that's even better, more reason why you go to the local ones in your area. But just in general, going to the local ones, just getting around other investors. That is the number one thing. That's why I created RubeCon, was because I wanted us to get together. And that's also, you'll appreciate this, Tanner. So Charles is creating a local RubeCon, but it's called a Rube Club. It's a monthly meeting in Charlotte, and he's creating that there. And we're going to hopefully roll it out in many major cities so that we'll have local meetups as well. So that's on the horizon. But the first one for Charles in Charlotte, North Carolina, is going to be in September. So super pumped about being able to connect people in another way. But man, Tanner, this has been so fantastic. I'm super glad to see you succeed. Great to hang out with you again. Obviously, you and I get to hang out at RubeCon. And so it's so cool to meet somebody that is like-minded, that wants to invest in real estate and see you succeed, man. I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, I'll see you next year at RubeCon, hopefully.
Sounds good, buddy. Thanks.
And that is it for today. Go ahead and get my free real estate investing course. Text the word rental to 33777, R-E-N-T-A-L to 33777. You can also join my Real Estate Wealth Builders group coaching. Get all my courses. All right, guys, we'll see you in the next show. See ya.